and away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Midweek edition, Wednesday, October 11th, 2023. Green Things Zocalo Village have the naming rights to our studio during the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. I cannot believe it, Tom. I just looked at the forecast. Monday will be pushing upper 90s. Let's hope we're done with... Well,
once
you know
again,
what.
Yeah, let's let sleeping dogs lie.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking 10.
If we ignore it, maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, 10 degrees that above normal, 8 to 10 anyway. But what are you going to do? It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local voice for news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, based at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health and internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve our American healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Victoria Mazes co-hosts the podcast Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes or at azcim.org. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
Well, I am doing well. Thank you. How are you doing, Bill?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, doing as well as can be expected. And I was wondering, have you had your latest booster for COVID?
I did. And by the way, we're no longer calling it a booster. We're calling it now an annual vaccine.
Okay.
With the idea that COVID vaccination may become a bit like flu vaccination, where it is a shot that you get every year in the fall.
Well, I was trying to add up how many shots I've had. I've had every one that's been offered, yeah. And I even for this last one, which I had 2 weeks ago, I took my little card with the extension on it. There's two kind of cardboard cards,
yep.
And I was told, oh, you don't need that anymore. We don't do the cards anymore.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I brought my card in. They did not want it. But, you know, here's the thing, Bill. My arm was really sore for about 4 days.
Yeah.
And I was tired and headachy for about, 24, 36 hours. And now I'm glad because there was a new study that just came out that shows that people who have that kind of side effect from the COVID shot actually produce more antibodies and the antibodies last longer.
Well, I have not had a shot that did not produce a robust reaction. Usually mine starts 8 to 12 hours after the shot. It's a little bit of pain at the site, soreness at the site of the shot. But my issue usually is feverish, feeling feverish,
well,
and very flu-like. Yeah.
Yeah, so actually, this is such a funny thing to say, but fever is also a good sign. If you have a fever in response to that COVID shot, it shows that your immune system is having a vigorous response. And so people who had elevated temperature, elevated heart rate, these were signs that they had higher antibody levels. So the typical symptoms that people sometimes have, fever, a little bit of an increased respiratory rate, chills, feeling tired, feeling unwell, like you do have a little bit of the flu, and headache are all associated with a significant, like 140 to 160% higher levels of antibodies.
like the old Peggy Lee song, "Give Me Fever." So this is a case where a little bit of fever is a good thing. And you know, this is also for folks that are wondering, maybe they should take a shot on maybe at the end of the workday, Friday afternoon, or maybe, you know, if they have to be back at work on Monday, perhaps take the shot on a Saturday morning, giving you a little bit of a buffer before you have to go back to work.
I think that's great advice, and that's advice that I follow, Dr. Bill. I also try and get it on Friday so I could lay low on the weekend. But I do want to remind listeners that the COVID-19 vaccine is intended to prevent a serious effect of COVID-19, so hospitalization and death from the virus, which of course is still happening. It also, and this is a second benefit, reduces the chance of people developing long COVID.
Yeah, very good advice. The two individuals who were honored with the Nobel Prize for their work for the now famous mRNA vaccines. It's an interesting story, and people, I think, tend to think that this was like kind of an overnight thing. But mRNA work had been going on, Dr. Mazes, I believe, for a long time.
Yes, and this is really a really wonderful story. Dr. Carrico is a scientist who was at the University of Pennsylvania. She's an immigrant from Hungary. Her father was a butcher, and she, as a child, decided she wanted to be a scientist. She really struggled. She was in the lab working on mRNA. By the way, M stands for messenger, so it's messenger RNA.
Okay.
And she had these ideas that were considered unorthodox. It was very hard for her to get funding. She was kind of demoted a couple of times into smaller lab space. But eventually she was able to collaborate, and really her dedication and her persistence is why we have such an effective vaccine that has really saved millions of lives worldwide.
Will this vaccine or this technique, the messenger technique, translate into other therapies with other diseases?
Absolutely. In fact, I saw some research earlier this year that was so exciting about an individualized vaccine that was being made for people with pancreatic cancer and had shown great effectiveness. This is a very fascinating technology that has lots and lots of applicability beyond COVID. In fact, we right now have a new vaccine, RSV, that's also available, and that is made with mRNA technology.
I did not know that, and I had that shot last Saturday morning, and unlike the flu shot, I did not have a reaction to the flu shot, but I did to the RSV shot, again, a little bit of fever and feeling, again, some flu-like symptoms, but I actually have had that RSV a couple of years ago. It's no fun. I wound up having to have a chest x-ray because I was wheezing when I was breathing. So this is I understand from what the pharmacist told me, this is a very, the technology shows this is a very effective shot.
Yes, I do want to make a distinction that the flu shot, COVID, is essentially recommended to almost everybody. The new COVID-19 vaccination is recommended to everyone over the age of 6 months. And flu vaccination is also broadly recommended. But RSV is really not recommended for everybody. It's primarily for people over the age of 60. And there's also going to be for young children. So it's not everybody who should receive an RSV vaccine. If you're over 60, and especially if you have any history of lung disease, that should be something to discuss with your doctor.
Well, I did not know that this was a messenger type vaccine. So that's good news right there, that we've already got that in the pipeline.
Yes. And the other thing that is very wonderful about the mRNA technology is that these vaccines can be tweaked, and we've seen that. So, for example, you mentioned you got every shot that was available. Mm-hmm. The one that was available last spring was a bivalent, which means there were two different variants of the COVID virus in that shot, whereas this new COVID-19 shot is a monovalent. It's only one kind of variant. It's the XBB.1.5, which mm-hmm. is a subvariant of Omicron, which maybe everybody remembers. So it's something that can be rapidly changed as we see different variants of COVID.
And I want to point out that I ordered the free COVID-19 tests, which are available now from the government, and there's four tests that came in the mail yesterday. So that's something to keep in mind, take advantage of. And I noticed that the particular test was a little bit different, that the swab actually goes right in to the panel where the results come out. That was something new.
Well, I haven't opened mine yet, but I think that is important that people know this is really a lovely thing that our federal government is supplying each household with four free tests. And, you know, sometimes it feels like you have to do a lot of work to get something free. This is a super simple thing. You go online and it essentially needs your address. And it's very easy to order these. And I think it's a good thing to have them at home so that you know if you have COVID.
All right. We're beyond the break, but I don't want to keep the caller through on hold. So let's quickly take Augie's question for Dr. Victoria Mazes. Go ahead, Augie.
Hi, good day. I just wanted to see if you can please explain how the vaccine is superior to the natural infection.
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think that that's one of the things that we're still really figuring out. Obviously, many people in our society have had COVID, the infection, and then we also can have immunity to some of the spike proteins on the virus, which is how the viral vaccination has been made. And I think we're still really trying to understand all of the ins and outs between natural immunity because you had the infection and vaccine immunity. And I wish I could give you a very clear answer, but I think we just don't know all of that yet.
Okay, thank you, Augie, for calling us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll take a break right here, talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, which is always a pleasure for me to talk about it because, let's face it, comfort food is something I could certainly use these days and have taken advantage of from Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. They are open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30 in the morning. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sun. Check out their website before you go up there. You'll be very tempted by those beautiful pictures of everything, pretty much everything on the menu. That's monasdanishbakery.com. More with Dr. Victoria Mazes right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community
and southern Arizona. So remember to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster. Away we go now with segment two in the studio with the naming rights from Green Things and Zocalo Village. Green Things, perfect time of year to go over there, 3384 East River Road. Get some color in your garden, some autumn flowers, and the way these temperatures are going, maybe I'm going to be wrong about this, but I don't think we need to be worrying about a hard freeze or a frost for the foreseeable future. Green Things, their 13-acre site open daily. It's greenthingsaz.com and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. We continue our monthly conversation in segment two with Dr. Victoria Mays, is Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine based at the University of Arizona, where she is also a professor of medicine and public health. Before we transition out of our lead topic about COVID, we had a question during the break, Dr. Mays, is the traditional way that vaccines were approved. It usually involved extensive testing and time for observation and follow-up. We're not seeing this with the new vaccines for COVID anyway. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, that is a very good point. And it's because we were in a worldwide pandemic where people were dying and people were getting incredibly sick. And so this vaccine was able to go forward with an emergency use, which is one of the designations that is available to our government in the state of an emergency, which we were in.
Okay. But apparently, I think they're safe. They appear to be safe, right?
Yeah. Yes. So the emergency use is an authorization that the FDA has, and that they did put that in place where they allowed widespread vaccination, you know, after small scale tests were done. It wasn't that there weren't tests done. And then the plan, of course, is over time to move from emergency use to the more standard ways of approving things. Now, you know, the interesting thing in this situation of the pandemic is, of course, now millions of shots have been given. And this does tie in a little to our second topic, because it's a little bit about, well, how does the FDA approve something? And the way it usually works, whether it's a vaccine or a medication, is that first there is an investigational new drug application where the pharmaceutical companies go to the FDA and they say, you know, we have some preclinical testing, usually in animals, and we want to test it in humans. And the FDA says, you know, yes, it seems reasonably safe, or no, they may want more information. And then the study is done after a university puts it through its institutional review board. So then you have a panel of scientists in the hospital and the research institution whose responsibility is to oversee research, look at the protocol and decide how risky is it. And, you know, that matters a lot. So, for example, another time we were in this sort of crisis like COVID was at the beginning of the HIV epidemic. And there were allowances made for for lesser testing because people were dying and there was nothing else that could be used. But for example, if you already have five perfectly well-studied treatments for an illness, then you'd really want the sixth to go through full testing to be sure that it was equivalent or better before you allowed it to be put out on the market. So it goes from that phase one test, which is really small, just maybe between 20 and 80 people, to a phase, and that focuses very much on, is it safe? And then phase two focuses on, is it effective? Does it work for the people who have COVID or HIV or the flu or pneumonia or whatever it may be? And then a phase three study is larger yet, and it looks at a wider population, and it looks at different kinds of combinations of medications. And then even once it's fully FDA approved, there's then a requirement to follow it once it's out on the marketplace, because, you know, testing it in a few hundred or even a few thousand people is very different from having hundreds of thousands or millions of people take that. And you start to see perhaps, well, what if there's a rare problem that you didn't see when you tested it in 3,000, but you're seeing it now that it's widely in the world.
Well, speaking of things that may not work, if you have a runny if you have a runny nose, and go to the pharmacy and you pick up Sudafed PE or Dayquil, according to the FDA, those medications aren't likely to do anything to clear up your runny nose.
Yeah, it's super interesting. So this was last month, September 12th, the FDA advisory panel agreed unanimously that phenylephrine, which is a decongestant that's in, as you said, Sudafed and Dayquil and other kinds of cold medicines, does not work. It is not effective. And that means that most likely it's going to get pulled from the market. Actually, the studies showing it doesn't work go all the way back to the early 1970s.
What? Why?
Yeah,
what?
It's crazy.
What in the world?
But yeah, well, I mean, it turns out that phenylephrine's been on the market a really long time. And if you go way back in time into the 1930s, the FDA didn't require any kind of safety testing. It was only after this terrible tragedy where a medicine called sulfanilamide was made, and they made a liquid form of it, which of course was given partly to children. It was sweetened with diethylene glycol, and more than 100 people, many of them children, died. So that made the FDA say, we have to be sure our drugs were safe. But it wasn't until the 1960s that the FDA said, and not only do they have to be safe, but they have to be effective. And that was because of another tragedy, which was a medicine called thalidomide, which was given to pregnant women in Europe and also Canada, but actually not in the U.S. And it wasn't given in the U.S. because of one woman, Frances Oldham Kelsey, who was on the FDA science team. And she said there's not enough evidence that that's safe. Thalidomide caused some terrible limb deformities in babies. And, you know, we're fortunate that Frances Kelsey didn't allow it to be put on the market in the U.S.
So we're not likely to see products that contain this common decongestant in our pharmacies.
Well, it's unclear. They haven't yet pulled it, and so they're still in the pharmacies. Okay. And, you know, there's sort of some argument about this, about, you know, okay, maybe it's not effective, but does it do harm, right? And so people sometimes like to use a placebo because it gives them the sense that they're doing something. So some people are in the on the side of the argument of that's ridiculous. We don't want to have a medicine that doesn't work out on the shelves. And other people are like, well, you know, what harm does it do? There's more important issues to tackle.
Another quick question. Any thoughts about DMSO? Can you take that quick question?
Well, DMSO is really on another topic. It is a medicine that was really widely used in veterinary medicine and specifically, you know, has been used for problems like for horses. It's not especially well looked at in humans. And so I think that it may be a good thing to use on your animals, but I don't recommend it for people.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mays, as always, a pleasure. Thank you. We'll look forward to your next visit with us. Thank you, doctor.
My pleasure. Stay
right.
Well, everyone.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays is co-hosts the podcast. It's titled Body of Wonder, and she co-hosts that with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mays's, or, of course, find her at azcim.org. And, of course, that will get you to the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. All right, we're at the halfway point in the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We've got Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. I'm going to talk travel right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Time for insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The travel experts at Bon Voyage standing by right now. They can create, and they will do so gladly, the trip of your lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Let's welcome now back to the show Ryan Hansen. Rhino, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there is a lot going on, of course, in Israel, and Israel is a very popular travel destination. A lot of people look forward to taking kind of a trip of a lifetime, Ryan, as you know, to the Holy Land.
Yeah, it is interesting, Bill, when I'm out and about and people ask me, oh, hey, did that global situation or did that weather situation impact your business? And I always respond with, well, we sell trips around the world, so pretty much everything in the world impacts our business. These types of situations, unfortunately, impact them even more. And first of all, and I'm sure you've covered this already this week, our hearts go out to all of those impacted with these tragic events, for the people living there, right, that are right in the midst of it. Our hearts go out, and we stand allied with peace, right? That's our forefront. And one of the things about travel is bringing people together and not focusing on differences. But we do have a very strong tie to Holy Land trips, and it's either land trips with people that are on escorted vacations to see the sites and the historic places of the Holy Land, but also a lot of cruise partners of ours are going to the Holy Land and Egypt and Turkey, and that whole region is a very popular itinerary for many folks. And those that are religiously tied to those destinations, but also those that just the history of those destinations, you know, it doesn't have to be a religious connection. And when we looked at what happened over the weekend, we had a number of our clients in the region, Bill. So it would be a good kind of a good thing to think about. Why do you book with a travel advisor? There's many reasons. These types of things, anything that is globally impacted, is a reason you want to have an expert. And so we were quick to the response to work with our supplier partners to understand what they were doing. And many of the cruise lines are changing itineraries on the fly. There was three or four cruise lines in the port of Haifa,
really,
which is the port of call that services Jerusalem. We had clients on the ground, Bill. We had clients on shore excursions on Saturday morning that were recalled to their ship, and then the ships departed Haifa prior to their scheduled departure time because of the situation. So very impressed with how quickly our cruise partners responded. As you can imagine, safety and security of their crew and passengers is of the utmost concern. So they have massive global security teams at all of these cruise lines that are tied in to all of the embassies. They're tied in to ambassadors. They're tied in to a higher level security clearance than you or I, or even just any regular business, because they partner and are in these ports of call frequently. So there are security measures they have to adhere to as they pull in and out of harbors. We talked a lot about this during COVID, right? There was more of an illness discussion of safety and security of passengers during the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic as cruise lines opened up. So the global security teams on these cruise lines, I like to reassure people, they are on top of it. And so we've seen a lot of ports of call changes, Bill, because of that. So lots of cruise lines calling on the Tel Aviv, the Haifa and Jerusalem area, that for really the balance of 2023, the rest of the calendar year, those ports of call have been shifted to Cyprus, to Greece, and primarily to Turkey. We've seen a lot of changes just moving to Istanbul or other Turkish ports of call that get you roughly 600 to 700 miles away from that direct region that we're seeing today, right, Bill? You've done this long enough. News is as it is today, as it is right now. Mm-hmm. It is a fluid and dynamic situation in that region. But as it's somewhat contained to Israel and Palestine in that area right now, these are the changes that have been made, and the cruise lines are acting appropriately.
And those for those that are doing a land-based trip and flying into Tel Aviv, there have been some really major changes. I know American has now said American Airlines will not be calling on Tel Aviv, landing at Tel Aviv at least through early December. So I'm not sure what the other American flag carriers are doing, but I know this could obviously change if people had plans for this fall, a land-based trip. It's going to change.
Yeah. You're right. The immediate flights for all domestic carriers that were going in and out of Tel Aviv were halted. And I don't know how far out, like you said, American has come out strongly that it's through the early part of December. The other carriers, I expect, will follow suit. They a lot of the times march to the same beat, kind of like the gas station on the four corners of an intersection. The price just is amazingly all the same. And if it one drops, the other drops. Very similar in the airline industry for things especially like this. They're drawing this similar security conversations and making decisions based on the same type of intelligence. So I would expect, and what we're seeing is that passengers and clients alike of ours are being taken care of because of these events and the nature of them either being deemed a terrorist act as of Saturday. Many of the carriers and even some of our travel insurance partners have elevated it to an act of war even now in the last day or two. So for us, we talk about beyond just your booking with partners that are reputable, that show a historical track record of consumer doing things right by the consumer, so refunding and reallocating trips. So if you have a flight into and out of Tel Aviv in this time frame, you're going to be taken care of by the carrier. We can help you with that if you've booked it with us. But one of the things we will always talk about, regardless of the destination, is protecting your investment and your trip with travel insurance. A lot of times it's just missed flights, Bill. It's bags not being delivered on time that insurance can help you. It's an illness that you incur that prohibits you from traveling, and that could protect your investment of that trip. It also extends, unfortunately, to some of these larger events that are much more of a safety issue in the region that you're going to. Travel protection in many cases can help you with these situations, and we do have that available, and we would recommend that on any and every trip that you take because these are not planned, right? No one planned this to happen this past Saturday. And so if you booked with us and you have the right travel protection policy with us, even if the cruise line says, we're going to change the itinerary and you don't have to go, if you have the right travel protection, you might be able to cancel for a reason, for an act of war or a terrorist act that can recoup your money. Because what we recognize, Bill, and you know this, we talk about this all the time, travel is one size fits one. It's for you. Mm-hmm. It's your investment and what you want to get out of the vacation, but also in this situation, what you deem is safe for yourself and your trip may be different from a colleague, a friend, or a relative. So you may feel comfortable going on a Greek Isles cruise next week because you recognize it's over 700 air miles away from the impacted areas. That may be safe for you. Mm-hmm. But someone else may say that's not safe for me. I would feel less comfortable doing that, so I would like to cancel. We can help work through that with you. Unfortunately, sometimes if you don't have travel protection, your options become less and less available to you. It's more limited in the ability to potentially recoup the money, even though you say to yourself, there's an act of war going on within 600, 700 miles. Shouldn't I get my money back? Unfortunately, travel insurance is much like any insurance that you have on your car or your home. There are fine print things that maybe as the consumer you don't agree with, but you agreed to when you took out the policy.
Well, this points out something that's so important. When you're choosing a travel advisor like Bon Voyage, look at a company's record. Look at how long you've been in business. Look at your connections. the comfort level is going to be different for every traveler. There may be some travelers that say, okay, it's 500 or 600 miles. That's still too close for me. I just want to go back to Tucson, Arizona. And if you were booked with Ryan and Hansen and Bon Voyage, and you had the right travel insurance, you guys can make that happen.
Yeah, and you have options, and that, and you have the expertise. And I think you touched on that, Bill, is when you're a traveler of yourself, right, it's one size fits one, but you're also limited to your own expertise and your own perspectives that you've had traveling. Whereas if you book with us, you've got a much broader network of help and support and experts. And but it is one size fits one, Bill. I was astonished. One of our clients, her and her friend were sailing. They were in Jerusalem on Saturday. We got a picture of them sent to us on Sunday. They were having a grand time on a sea day sailing in the Mediterranean. And their words to us were, it was harrowing, but we're safe now. And we're going to add that to our travel adventure story.
There you go.
They turned it into a positive. And again, it's all a matter of perspective. It warmed my heart to hear that they were safe first and foremost, but that they took it as it was adventurous. And now we're enjoying our sea day sailing on the Med.
Good for them. All right, more to talk about with Ryan Hansen in this edition, this monthly edition of Travel Talk. Rhino's back with me right after we take a quick break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition. Boy, those temperatures over in Silver City, I like it. Mid-70s at the midday point. And their weather forecast looks really good. Lower 80s later in early next week. It's a perfect time of year to take a three-hour road trip approximately east of Tucson. When you get to Silver City at that mile-high elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet, hey, let's go hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Lots to do. Check out their website before you take the trip, southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of trips, let's go back now on the live line to our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan, I want to talk a little bit about expedition cruising. This is a segment of the travel industry that is becoming increasingly popular, but I think there are some misconceptions that we need to clear up, that many people, they think, oh my goodness, expedition cruising. I'd love to do it, but maybe I'm a few pounds overweight and I may not be in the greatest condition. And I wonder if I could still have a good time on one of these trips.
Oh, yeah. It is a huge growing segment, Bill, in the industry. And for a number of reasons, right? People are well traveled and they want to go somewhere new and unique. That's why it's grown. You can get to uncharted territories, places that very few people can get to, Galapagos, Antarctica. Just the style of cruising is slightly different than your normal classic cruiser. But this segment has almost doubled in the last 5 years in regards to the number of beds on the water for an expedition style cruise and the number of passengers that are sailing on these cruises. But you touched on it, Bill. It's like expedition. What does that mean to you may be different from what that means to the actual experience. And you hit on a couple of misperceptions, and maybe even I would go so far as to call them myths.
Yeah.
Certain myths of cruising on an expedition style ship would be what you said. One is, oh my gosh, I have to be a triathlete to be able to do this. And it couldn't be further from the truth. You can be as adventurous as you want to be on an expedition cruise. If you want to use the kayaks and you want to be out snorkeling or scuba diving, there are many options for you. But if you would just as soon be able to walk around on the Antarctica island itself and just be able to get in and out of a Zodiac, which is Zodiac, just a smaller vessel that you get on to that takes you to these landings of these unbelievable locations. The expedition cruise team would tell you if you can go up or down one flight of stairs, you have enough fitness level and mobility to be able to go on an expedition cruise. So I think that's definitely dismantles the thought of I have to be in tip-top shape to be able to go on an expedition cruise. So, Bill, I think you're good to go on this, at least from a physical perspective, right?
And, you know, part of it is the advertising. You've seen it. Of course you have, because you're in the business. But the advertising would show a very young couple, you know, doing all, like kayaking or doing all these things. But how about us older folks that might just want to, like you say, maybe walk around a little bit on Greenland, or just sort of, you know, kick back on the ship and enjoy the scenery.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Again, it can be it can be a soft adventure for you, which is more a passive and observation style from the comfort of the ship, or just on a leisurely hike, or as adventurous as you want it to be. And so, age should not be a determining factor of your ability or desire to go, an opportunity to go on an expedition style cruise. And when you think about it, what are you going to do on the ship? Does that mean that you're going to be sailing in a very old metal can type of a ship? No, you do not have to worry. It's not Spartan accommodations if you choose that route. That's the newest emergence in expedition style cruising, is while expedition connotes a little bit more rugged, authentic, near nature, wildlife enthusiasts, yes, all of those things can be true, but you don't have to scrimp on your accommodations. There is 6-star luxury travel opportunities in the cruise space where you're on ship with 300 to 500 thread count sheets, with wonderful pillows and expansive suites, and you can be eating 6-star Michelin level food. You're not eating out of a Sterno can heated up over a Bunsen burner, right? It doesn't have to be that way. However, we do have those opportunities as well, right? So it's a kind of whatever your flavor, and I still come back to this, Bill, more and more, it's one size fits one, right? So if you're travel, you want six-star luxury while you're on ship, but you want to be able to get off ship and have an adventure of a lifetime, kayaking and scuba diving and getting up close to penguins, you can have both or anywhere in between when you travel on an expedition cruise.
Yeah, you're not going to be eating out of some canned goods that were left over from Admiral Byrd's expedition in the early 1900s.
Right, you're not ripping open the astronaut MRE, meals ready to eat where it was freeze-dried 70 years ago by any means.
Also, one of the myths is, people will say, well, they don't understand that this is not for just the super wealthy people to do this type of a trip.
Yeah, it was, Bill. I would venture to guess that over a decade ago, it became a little bit limited in who could go on it because there was not as many options. But that is the one great thing about in any consumer space, competition brings pricing down. And so there are a lot of options for you, again, depending on the level of service, the level of accommodations, the length of your cruise, the destination, all of those factors go into the price point. But if you're somebody that's price conscious, you may not say, I have to fly business class to all the way down to Ushuaia. I can fly economy. I'm fine with economy plus. There you go. You've just saved some money. Oh, I don't have to have a suite on the ship. I'm okay with a smaller cabin. I don't need all of those amenities on that cruise line. I'll choose a different one. And so the price point is such where, again, much like the level of adventure is whatever suits your fancy. Relatively speaking, the price point has come down because there's so much more opportunities and more cruise lines are taking advantage of expedition cruise interest. So they've built purpose-built ships, but they also have different options for you. So another reason, again, shameless plug here, Bill, come to us from an expertise standpoint because you may not know what you're getting into. You may choose a cruise line that says, this is an expedition cruise, and all you're doing is sailing by Antarctica. You're like, wait a minute, I wanted to put my feet on the snow. And that cruise line says, well, we call it expedition, but we really only just sail by Antarctica. Wouldn't that be something you'd like to know before you were on ship, if touching the terra firma of Antarctica was important to you and you wanted to be close to a penguin? You'd want to make sure you were on a cruise that actually had landings on Antarctica or Galapagos or Greenland. You mentioned the Arctic is also a very popular expedition cruise destination.
And here's another one. People think, well, if I do an expedition cruise, that's going to like take up a whole month or 6 weeks. I just don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, you can definitely get it done in 7 to 10 days, depending on the destination. We'd recommend a longer experience if you're going to go that far, or it's your bucket list type of a trip to make sure that you expand your calendar a little bit beyond a 7 to 10 day window. But the other one, Bill, in addition to I don't have a month, okay, well, I don't love cruising. So I don't want to be with 4,000 people in buffet lines, the old myths of cruising. Well, recognize that an expedition cruise, in almost all cases, the ship is smaller. So you're going to have a more intimate experience. We're talking 200 to 300 people max, maybe even down to 100. So it's a much different experience. It's a more of an expanded yacht-like experience on an expedition ship, where you're getting into ports of call that those big ships could never even come close to getting into. And so the experience, if you've had that classic cruise weariness of, I don't want to have 4,000 of my closest friends fighting for deck chairs on the top of the deck to see the icebergs or to see the polar bears in the Arctic, I don't want that. You won't have that if you're booking the right ship that's an expedition-style cruise.
All right, Ryan Hansen, bvtravel.com. That is the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Always a pleasure, Rhino. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
All right, Ryan Hansen is our travel contributor on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ryan and Tom, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.